Well, good morning, TNC family. From my home in the city of the world champion Atlanta Braves to wherever you are on this first Sunday in November, it is a great weekend to be a Braves fan. And no matter if you've watched just one game since 1995, or in some of our cases, 162 games a year for 26 years. That's over 4,000 games, over 37,000 innings. No matter, it is a shared celebration, and these are fun days to be in the ATL. Now let's pray together, and then we'll dive into the scriptures. And I want to pray with you the prayer of the psalmist in chapter 57. Be gracious to me, O God, for my soul takes shelter in you. In the shadow of your wings, I take refuge, for you are the God who holds me together, makes good on his word, and delivers me from my enemies. Therefore, I will exalt you, O God, above the heavens, and declare your glory in all the earth. I will sing your praises and awaken to the dawn. I will awaken to your glory. Amen. So I want to start with this. Wake up! Wake up! Eckhart Tolle, the 73-year-old German-born, world-renowned philosopher, best known for his books The Power of Now and A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose, has famously reminded millions, quote, "Nothing ever happened in the past. When it happened, it was in the now. And nothing will ever happen in the future. It will happen in the now." And so we must learn to wake up to the now. Trevor Mowad, high-performance coach, worked at the University of Alabama and University of Georgia, works with Russell Wilson and other all-star athletes, has said over and over and over that the greatest athletes learn how to, quote, stay in the moment, giving each moment its own history. Maya Angelou, of course, famously spoke about waking up to each day. She said, this is a wonderful day. I've never seen this one before. And even Ferris Bueller told all of us, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around, you might miss it. And all these folks are really simply affirming what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in chapter 5 and verse 4. Quote, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, for the light of Christ shines on you." A passage that inspired probably the greatest musician to ever live, J.S. Bach, to write a short piece of music with a stunningly unforgettable melody called Sleepers Awake. And you may not be a classical music lover, but I'm telling you, it's worth taking 4 minutes to listen to it. Maybe especially outside one morning, just before listening to an edition of Coffee with Anne, our TNC Midweek podcast. Wake up, O sleeper, wake up. It's a call to experience a kind of aliveness and awareness of the spiritual dimensions that are all around us, infusing our world. Something that the psalmist sings about over and over and over. Chapter 24, verse 7. Wake up, you sleepyhead city. Wake up, you sleepyhead people. For the King of Glory is ready to enter. And in chapter 19, he writes, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hand. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out to the ends of the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Or listen to the words of Job to his friends in chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. He says, ask the beasts and let them teach you, and the birds of the heavens and let them tell you. Speak to the earth and let it teach you, and let the fish of the sea declare to you. And they're all saying the same thing, TNC. Wake up! Rise up in this moment and come alive to the God-soaked world. And so I want to talk to you today about waking up, because life can too easily become dull and routine and boring and lonely, which reminds me of the story Garrison Keillor told called A Day in the Life of Clarence Bunsen, about an older man who realizes the years are slipping away and his life has missed something. Keillor writes, Clarence went to see Father Emile at Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility Church for some advice. Normally, Clarence went to the Lutheran church, but he wanted a second opinion. But when that didn't help, he walked home, past his old school, and climbed the hill overlooking Lake Wobegon, where he and his friends played as kids years ago. And as he was reflecting on his life, Clarence heard some kids coming up the path, and for some strange reason, he ran ahead of them and climbed an old tree, a tree he remembered climbing from childhood. And now, TNC, can you see old Clarence up there in that tree? Keillor goes on, after a few minutes, the kids stopped right under his tree. They knew he was around somewhere, but they didn't think to look up. And Clarence knew that if he dropped down on them or even yelled, ha! They would jump out of their shoes. But he just watched them for a moment. They were so full of excitement and life, and Clarence thought to himself, I wish I could be like that. I just seem to go through life with my eyes closed and my ears shut. People talk to me, and I don't even hear them. Whole days go by, and I can't remember what happened. The woman I've lived with for 36 years, if you asked me to describe her, I'd have to stop and think about it. It's like I've lived half my life waiting for my life to begin, thinking it's somewhere off in the future. And now I'm thinking about death all the time. It's time to live, to wake up and do something. And then Clarence jumped down and yelled, "Hi!" Oh, those boys exploded out of there, Keillor writes, like birds scattering, and Clarence yelled, ha! But then, ouch! Ouch! And the boys came back to where he was sitting and asked, are you all right, Uncle Clarence? He replied, yes, but go down and tell Mrs. Bunsen to bring the car up to the gravel road. I'll meet her by the mailbox. And he crawled 100 yards over to the road, and she picked him up and didn't ask what happened. It's as if I've lived half my life waiting for life to begin, thinking it's somewhere off in the future, Clarence thinks. And so, TNC, I want to talk to you today, and for a couple weeks now, from the scriptures about waking up. About the Apostle Paul's admonition, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, for the light of Christ shines on you. Because as followers of Jesus, we must long to be people who can't look at a moment without seeing divine possibility all over it. Think of it this way, and you might know this, it was said of Napoleon that he could not look at a landscape without seeing a battlefield. Which is why one might say, if you're a dentist, maybe you cannot look at a smile without seeing teeth. Or if you're a Braves fan, maybe you can't look at a uniform without seeing Freddie Freeman. Or if you're a columnist for the New York Times, maybe you can't look at the world without seeing column topics. And which is why I want to suggest to you that as followers of Jesus, we must long to be people who can't look at a moment without seeing divine possibility all over it. And specifically, I want to talk to you now about two pairs of possibilities. Two pairs of possibilities that exist in every moment and that we are called to wake up to. So here's number one, the first pair, abundance and order. Abundance and order. Each moment invites us to wake up to abundance and order. And here's what I mean. Think for a moment of a large autumn maple tree. And as you do, be aware that you can wake up to either its abundance or its order. Or both. First, its order. You can examine it, reflect on its location compared to the hills and other trees around it. You can think about its root systems and how it grows, how it takes in carbon dioxide and returns oxygen to the atmosphere, how it brings order and balance to a landscape. I'm saying the first way of waking up to an autumn maple tree is to sort of stand at a distance and actually recognize its function and value and role and order. But then there is its abundance, the other way of waking up. And in this way, you sort of would stop your internal analytics and maybe just listen to the tree. You know, hear the breeze in the branches, the birds tending to their nests. You watch animals come for shade and food, and you participate in some way in its beauty and abundance. You see, there's order and abundance. Now, take it a step further. Andy Crouch writes about this in his book called Culture Making. He says that these two forces, order and abundance, were the two forces present in the hand of God at creation. Bereshit bara Elohim, in the beginning God. In the beginning there is God, but he's hovering over chaos. The earth is there, but it has no form or function, formless and void. And darkness is present, but it covers the entirety of the face of the deep. And then God brings order. In fact, the first 3 days of creation, nothing is manufactured. It's simply ordered. God separates light from darkness, the earth from the sky, the dry land from the waters. Yes, he is creating on those first days, author and professor John Walton says, but he's creating order, ordering time, day and night, ordering weather, waters above and below, ordering agriculture, the earth's capacity to nurture seeds and plants and animals. Days 1 to 3 are about order. And then on days 4 to 6, we see an infusion of abundance. Day 4 is sun, moon, and stars. And now that's abundant. And let me stop right there and say that at our TNC S'mores night a couple Saturdays ago, not only did we have an infusion of apple pie, pumpkin pie, chocolate pie, and even pecan pie, but Rick brought his mega telescope, and I'm not making this up, more memorable than the pies and s'mores and pumpkin carving and football games on the outside TV were the views that we all saw through that lens of Saturn. Saturn. With a mass 95 times heavier than the Earth, orbiting our sun once every 29.4 Earth years. Saturn, the most distant planet you can see with the naked eye, known to the ancients as a dot of light that appeared in the sky during certain seasons. But for us, it wasn't just a dot. In fact, when little Maya looked up into the sky and saw what appeared to be just that round, bright dot, but then she leaned down to look into the lens. That view gave birth to a wide smile and an abundant joy, and we all were lined up and we all saw the perfect view of Saturn's rings. And then Rick moved the telescope and we saw Jupiter, including several of its moons and the dark burgundy storms that are a feature of its massive atmosphere and size. And of course, there are billions of galaxies with billions of stars, more stars in the universe than grains of sand on the Earth. Abundance! And that was just day 4 of creation. Then God says, let the water teem with creatures and let the trees produce abundant fruit. And then day 6, animals and humans are given the task to abundantly fill the earth. And these two forces, order and abundance, were the two forces present in the hand of God at creation. And Andy Crouch talks about this in his book. And how now, in each moment, we can also wake up to abundance and order. And what's more, we can wake up to the need in each moment for either more abundance or more order. And if we're awake, we can be contributors, creators of order and abundance. And the more awake we are, TNC, the more we'll see what's needed in the moment. Because you can have lots of abundance or no abundance. You can have lots of order or no order. And think about it, if you have lots of abundance but no order, then you have chaos. Think of a party that gets out of hand, or the bedroom of a teenager, or a political rally without restraint. Lots of abundance, no order. And by the way, if you think of the traditional sins of lust, greed, gluttony, you can sort of see them as too much abundance, but no order. Or you can have lots of order, but no abundance, in which case you have like a machine sitting there operating. Or think of a storage facility with rows of unused items. And you might think of sins like joylessness and lovelessness as being sins of not enough abundance. And then Crouch says, in each moment you can have a lack of both, no abundance and no order, or you can have lots of both, lots of abundance and lots of order. And what you want, of course, is the presence of lots of order and lots of abundance. In fact, order, things like planning and commitment making and faithfulness and the right diet, sleep, and exercise habits, you need order if you want to maximize abundance. But here's the question for us each moment. Am I awake, alive, and aware of the order and the abundance of this moment? And do I need to lean into its abundance or its order? And how can I be a part of the abundance and the order of this moment? Wake up! The writers of Scripture tell us, wake up to the abundance and order all around us each moment. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, for the light of Christ shines on you. And then, number 2, the second pair of possibilities that exist in every moment that we are called to wake up to. Number 2, the second pair, darkness and light. Darkness and light. Each moment invites us to wake up to the presence of darkness and light. Now stay with me, because in every moment of life, there's the possibility for what is good, love and joy and hope and kindness and generosity and being connected to, rooted to something deeper and bigger and longer than just myself and my immediate needs. In every moment, there's this light, that possibility, that reality is there to embrace. But then, in every moment, there's the possibility for what is not good. There's the presence of darkness, of selfishness and ego and pride, of confusion and fear and aloneness. And in every moment, there are these two, light and darkness. Paul talks about this over and over. Ephesians 5, 2 Corinthians 4, Romans 13, and on and on. But Paul goes on to say that these two darkness and light, are accompanied by a third thing, which is a choice to embrace the light or to embrace the darkness. Or as Jesus would flesh it out, each moment holds the possibility to build your life on the rock or on the sand. In every moment, there's this choice. And let me just say, let's not overcomplicate things or over-spiritualize them, okay? Because I'm talking about simple choices that lead to rock or sand. Simple choices that lead to life or death, light or darkness, hope or fear. In the words of Gretchen Rubin, most decisions don't require extensive research. Pretty simple, actually. Should I get enough sleep? Doesn't require extensive research. Is the world made better through people being stingy or generous? Do you think it's better to forgive people? Or in your experience, is life better when you hold on to bitterness and you nurse it and hold it close to your heart? Do you think it's better to be authentic or fake? Is it best to always think of yourself first or to think of the good of others? Is it best to go into every interaction as if you are the expert and the teacher? Or to enter every interaction as if you are a learner, humble and ready to expand your horizons? Is it better to make rash judgments about people? Or to wait and ask questions and hear a bit more and figure out where they're coming from? See, TNC, sometimes we overthink things, but there's no need. I'm saying if you want to lose weight, cut back on the ice cream and maybe don't drink the soft drinks. And I bet you'll lose some weight. If you're like, I don't know where all my money's going. Well, print out a couple months of credit card statements and see where you're spending money that you can probably stop spending money. Most decisions don't require extensive research. We can choose the light. And instead of complaining about stuff going on that is not going on like we prefer, instead of getting consumed with it and feeling depressed by it, how about letting go of our need to be in charge and be in power and be right and to be treated like we think we deserve, and instead saying, I'm going to follow a different leader, not named me. I'm going to trust the wisdom of God. And I'll use again the story of one of my favorite authors, Dallas Willard, who was asked once why he was a Christian. And he didn't go into theology or the afterlife or anything like that. He simply said, it's because every time I put Jesus' words into practice, I find them to be true. It's that simple. Choose the light. And so we need to let go of our need to be experts and trust the expertise of God. We need to let go of our need to have the last word or the first piece of pie. We need to let go of the need to have it our way or to have our opinions vindicated. And we need to trust. We need to let go and trust the wisdom and the steps we are called to make in each moment. Maybe you saw this. Disney just announced that Indiana Jones 5 was delayed until 2023, and so we're going to have to wait. The first three movies, some of you will know, came out in the 1980s, and the third was Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, the story of how Indiana is obsessed with finding the Holy Grail. What do you want more than anything else? The Holy Grail. And at the end of the movie, the Grail, which is a cup, is lying in a crack in the ground after an earthquake in this cave, and Indiana Jones is being supported by his dad, played by Sean Connery, and Indiana is millimeters from being able to reach the Grail, which is soon to fall further into the crack if he doesn't grab it. And what his father sees clearly, but he does not, in his momentary lust for the Grail, is if he insists on reaching it, he will die. It will cost him his life. Dad, I can almost get it. Let it go, son. But Dad, Indy, Let It Go. Let It Go. And those are the words some of us need now, today, this moment, this season. That anger, let it go. That fear, let it go. That need to be right, let it go. Because each moment is filled with this possibility to trust the light or to choose darkness. And so there are two pairs of possibilities: abundance and order, darkness and light. And we are called to wake up to these pairs today. Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, for the light of Christ shines on you. Let's pray. God, I want to pray now for every person listening that they would discover a renewed aliveness to this moment and to each moment, to what you were doing in each moment. I pray that they would discover your abundance and your order, and that they would know your light, and that that would permeate and bless their homes and their children and grandchildren and their parents and grandparents and their places of work and all their relationships and responsibilities. And that it would lead to joy and gratitude and to the bearing of much fruit. God, give us strength today that can only come from your glorious power that works within us. Amen.